Daniel chapter 10. Now, I believe that this chapter gives us insight into the spiritual warfare that God wants us all involved in. And though it talks about Daniel, by the time we get to this chapter, Daniel is 86, 87 years old. He still, as far as we know, has a very important position in the government of Cyrus. But Daniel continues to focus on the Lord. And in this chapter, he is, well, we'll find out that he is observing a time of praying to the Lord, and it's very obvious that Daniel is praying to the Lord, and he's very sad about something, and we're going to discover what he's sad about. And in the discovery of what Daniel is sad about, we're going to, I think, be introduced, for some of you, introduced to the warfare that we're in right now. You see, this situation that Daniel faced, now, I should tell you, it tells us in the first verse, it's the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, and it says a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. Now, this first verse gives us an introduction to not only chapter 10, but chapter 11, which follows. And chapter 11 is a very involved prophecy concerning what is coming up for the nation of Israel. Now, it is the third year of Cyrus. Cyrus is the head guy. He is called here the king of Persia. And Persia, of course, has conquered Babylon, and Cyrus is again the king of this whole large extended kingdom. But the interesting thing is that God has granted Daniel and really the children of Israel great favor with Cyrus. And Cyrus has actually told the people that they can go back to Jerusalem and restore their homeland. And so you would think that, you know, nearly the whole gang would jump up and say, wow, Jerusalem, we're going. But in fact, the people had become very, I guess you would say, Babylonian. They had lived in Babylon for 70 years. They had brought their kids up. They had sort of changed from an agrarian society to a society that was more interested in business. And, you know, they said, well, Jerusalem, man, that's a lot of work. I mean, the city was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. We'd have to rebuild the temple. So as a result, not that many people went. And then when they got to Jerusalem, they discovered that there was a whole bunch of rubble. Now, I think they could have ascertained the fact that there would be rubble, but it was really overwhelming. It took them months and months and months to clear it out. And along with the conflict with the enemies of Israel, as soon as the enemies saw that they had come back, they began to give them a hard time. And eventually, the work came to a grinding halt. And so that is why Daniel. Now, Daniel has stayed back in Babylon. It could be that he was prevented from going, but I think we can understand that being Daniel's age, 87, 88 years old, that would be a long, rigorous trip. And for several reasons, Daniel stayed there in Babylon. But it didn't mean that Daniel didn't care about those people. And he has gotten word that things are not going well back in Jerusalem. And so we read in verse 2, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. So Daniel was on behalf of the nation of Israel. Now, Daniel had left there when he was 14, 15 years old, but that was still the homeland as far as he was concerned, and these people had gone back, and it had been very rough, and Daniel was kept informed with how they were doing, and he was mourning. It says in verse 3, "I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." So Daniel didn't eat much. Now, you know, it's one thing to, not that Daniel was on a fast, but it's one thing to not eat much when you're, you know, fully healthy and you know, you can afford that. He's old, but it did not stop him from, you know, not only praying, but from, you know, eating regular meals. And it says in verse 4, "Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Euphaz." Now, as we get into this description, we will find that this description closely matches. In fact, I'll have you turn to Revelation chapter 1, and we'll look at it in just a moment. This description closely matches the description of Jesus. And so it is very possible, in fact, I believe quite likely, that this person that Daniel sees is none other than Jesus, the Son of God. And it says, "I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Euphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet were burnished like bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude." Let's go over to Revelation and just make a comparison here. It says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." I'm reading for verse 10 of chapter 1. "And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the 7 churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." And he goes on to begin to fill John in. But would you all agree that there's a great similarity between the person that Daniel sees as he's there by the Tigris River, and this person that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in the first chapter of Revelation. So it says, "And I, Daniel," verse 7, "alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." So these guys, I guess we have to come to the conclusion that they're not worthy to see the Lord. And yet they sense something. I don't know if they knew that it was divine presence, but whatever they sensed, they went and hid. "Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, on my face, with my face to the ground." So, you know, Daniel, he's older. He sees this this vision of the Lord of glory. It just knocks him out. He loses consciousness. And then it says in verse 10, "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' While he was speaking this word, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words.'" Now, I believe that when I pray, I believe that by faith, God hears me, and God is responding to the things that I pray. Now, there have been times where I've wondered, God, do you really hear me? Lord, are you really tuned in? And there have been other times where I've had this strong feeling, this wonderful sensing in my heart that yes, God hears and God is working. There are those varying kinds of feelings that accompany our prayer. And I'm sure Daniel was the same way. I mean, he'd been praying for weeks, three full weeks. And, I don't know exactly what Daniel was experiencing. He just knew at this point in his life, he's 86, 87 years old, he knew that the only thing that he could do, now, he could have talked to different officials, he could have talked to some of Cyrus's men and said, you know, it's not going well, and what can we do? They're having problems with the local government there. He could have done all these things, but Daniel knew that he needed to pray. And so he prayed. And as he's praying, God shows up. The Lord Jesus. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord. What happens in this vision that Daniel has is that sometime during the vision, the Lord leaves and another angel steps up to give Daniel the word that the Lord is wanting to convey to Daniel. Now, Daniel, he was just obedient to pray. And he didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. I think that's kind of true of us. We pray, but we don't always know exactly what it is that God is doing. Now, as we grow in our ability to pray in faith, you know, we pray with a little more certainty. We pray with, a sense that God hears us and that, our prayers are being dealt with. But, you know, there is a lot that we don't know. And but we do know this. We know that in the heavens, there is a great battle going on. And we know that that battle has to do with the things that are going on here on earth. Now, we listen to newscasts. We listen to what's going on in the Middle East. We listen to what's going on in Syria, in Iraq. We hear the things that Iran is saying. We hear all these things. And, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in the specifics of what we know, and we forget to acknowledge that this is just, really the effect of this great warfare that is going on in heaven. And, Daniel, he knew to pray, but the Lord shows up, and then the Lord speaks to him. And he says, "O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you." While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Now, again, Daniel was an older man. He probably was not as strong as he had been 20, 30 years ago. But what he is experiencing now is, really causing, I believe, much of the physical kinds of things that are going on. You know, he lost consciousness. He stands up, but he's kind of shaking, and he's shaking because of the presence of angels, and I think very likely the Lord Himself. And so in verse 12 it says, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." So here's what's going on. Daniel is praying. And listen, Daniel was a prayer warrior. Daniel prayed, I want to say all of the time, but he prayed in a very disciplined kind of way. He prayed every day. He went home and he prayed, and he opened up his windows, and he faced the city of Jerusalem. Daniel was a veteran. He was a prayer warrior. But he is now, God is kind of opening up the goings-on in the world that we can't see. Now, we can't see the heavenly realm, but right now there are things going on in the heavenly realm that reverberate through the world and that are, making it very important that the people of God pray. Now, I don't know about you. I'll just be real honest. There are many spiritual disciplines that I think are very important. It's important to be in the Word. It's important to fellowship with one another. But I'll tell you, the toughest thing for me to do, it's tough. I need to spend quality time with the Lord every day. I need to spend time with the Lord in the morning. I need to spend time with the Lord before I go to bed. Now, all of us, I think we send up prayers to the Lord. And most often, not all of the time, but most often those prayers are prayers saying, "Lord, I need your help." Or, "Lord, I thank you that you love me. And I'm just feeling real beat up right now, and I just really need your love." Many of those prayers that we pray during the day are prayers that, you know, reflect upon where we're at with the Lord. But, you know, there are times where we need to just concentrate and pray and seek God's will and pray for others that need our prayers. If you don't think that there are people that need your prayers, please see me after church. I'll give you a list of people. My wife and I have a whole system of praying for people that need our prayers, people that are sick, people that are having a tough time. And that is important, but it's even more important to spend time with the Lord, telling the Lord, Lord, I'm so glad that you've touched my life. I'm so glad that you have done that work whereby I understand that you are the sovereign God. And Lord, I just need to come to you in humility and ask for you to fill me with your Spirit. Ask for you to show me what you would have me to pray. Ask for you to help me to not walk in the flesh. Anybody need that help from the Lord? Yeah, it's just so easy for just the enemy just to give us a little shove, and suddenly we're thinking along fleshly lines, and we're not really seeking the Lord as he would have us to seek him. So I found that it really is helpful that in the morning to seek the Lord and to ask him to certainly fill me with his Spirit and to keep my eyes focused on him. You know what happens a lot of times is a situation comes up. Sometimes those situations happen and we don't know that they're going to happen, and suddenly here they are. And we know that we have to pray, but it seems like we spend more time looking at the situation and, you know, calling our friends in and saying, oh, did you hear what happened? And, you know, we really need to pray. And, you know, we pray, but we spend more time focusing on what it is that we need to pray about. And so we need to discipline ourselves that we need to set aside that time to seek the Lord and to seek his will and to present ourselves before the Lord. And you know, I know often when I present myself before the Lord, I say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for being prideful, for not taking you into account when these situations come up. It is very, very important to seek the Lord. And so Daniel, he is, you know, a wonderful example in the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, of somebody that is so disciplined in seeking the Lord. But here, as he seeks the Lord, God opens up to him insight into what is actually going on, what was going on then, and those same kinds of things, the things that we will see as we finish this chapter, are going on today. And, you know, it's very important that we understand that the spiritual warfare that we are involved in is just as intense, that's the word I meant to say, intense today as it was when we, you know, in these things that we're reading that happened so many thousands of years ago. We are continuing to be in a spiritual warfare. Now, I just like you to turn for a moment to Ephesians chapter 6. A passage that I'm sure you're all familiar with, but it says in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't. Sometimes I think, you know, we have that, we have that impression, oh, if I could just get this person to leave me alone, or if I could just get this person to act more grown up. But, you know, that person may be bugging you, but the real problem is taking place in the unseen realm. It says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, what this verse tells us is, number one, there are a lot of spiritual enemies, and number two, they are organized. In fact, this seems to describe something that is akin to sort of a military operation. It's an organized attack upon the people of God, the people that confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The enemy wants to neutralize you. He really does. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to be involved with the warfare that is going on. He just wants to neutralize you. He wants you to be neutral, to not do anything against him, to not do anything that will, bless the people that are in the midst of the battle. And I'll tell you, there are battles going on right now, even as we speak. They may not be going on here in the vicinity of this church, although they very well could be. But I guarantee there are very, very important spiritual battles that are being played out on earth. And we need to be involved. Now, you say, how do I get involved? You know, if it's going on 1,000 miles away from here, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to be involved in the prayers in the prayer life of the church. And I can tell you many stories that, I've read about, and stories that we've actually experienced, where people have been prayed for and they're a long way away in terms of miles, in terms of physical distances that we can measure. But if you pray to God, God's right there. And God wants to work in these situations. So it's very important that we be involved. Now, again, if you're still there in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the warfare that we're involved in. And as you come to verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And you know, Paul was praying for the church in Ephesus, but he was praying for other churches. He was praying for churches that were some distance away from him. But Paul knew the reality of what I just told you. Paul knew that though those people might be spatially far from him, they weren't far away from God at all. And we need to take that same kind of attitude. We need to pray for, some of you have relatives that live in different parts of the country. Pray for them. Some of us have people that don't know the Lord yet. Pray for them. And, I'm trying to think. I believe it was D.L. Moody's. He had a very close relative that did not know the Lord, and he had shared with this fella. He had prayed with this person. He had prayed and he'd prayed and he'd prayed, and the Lord came. This man came to the Lord, but he came to the Lord after D.L. Moody passed away and was in the presence of the Lord. But God heard his prayers. And, you know, sometimes prayers are answered very quickly, and what a blessing when that happens. But there are times when we just need to pray, and we need to seek the Lord, and we need to know that God hears our prayers, that God knows exactly what needs to be done, and he's working in the lives of these people that we're praying for. But we need to pray for them. That's our part, to pray. So getting back to Daniel chapter 10, it says in verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Now, I personally believe that at this point, this is an angel that is talking to Daniel. Daniel saw who I believe to be the Lord. And then later on, another angel came, and Daniel's having this conversation with him. "Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, 'My Lord.'" Now notice, Lord is not capitalized. It's a little L. "Because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength." So, you know, Daniel's telling this guy, man, it's been rough. You know, I've been depleted of my strength. My sorrows have overwhelmed me. I have no strength. "For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me." Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, "O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace to you, be strong, yes, be strong." So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." You know, we think of the spiritual warfare that is going on. And we know that the warfare involves a tremendous struggle between the powers of darkness and the powers of light. And, you know, there are angels that we're told in the Old Testament rebelled against God, and they joined with Satan. There were other angels that continued to serve the Lord. And, you know, we sometimes see these angels of darkness, these angels that are serving Satan. And it seems very overwhelming. But, you know what, we're going to win, because a third of the angels fell. Satan took a third of the angels, but the other two-thirds, they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a whole bunch of them. How many are there? We don't know, but I'll show you an interesting verse in Revelation chapter 5. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. John is observing, and he's there in heaven, and it says in verse 11 of John chapter 5, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Anybody know how much? What is that? I'm looking at my mathematician. I think it's 100 million. Am I right? And then it says 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Listen, there are a whole bunch of angels, and we are going to win. Now, there are times where the Lord is training us up, and, you know, we feel we feel like we're losing. At least we feel that physically. We're tired, we're weak, you know, we don't know how we can continue on. But I'll tell you something. The Lord's got it covered. He's got it covered. And he has you and I covered not only by the blood of Jesus Christ. We will win. And, you know, I guess if there's anything I wanted to say to you tonight, it's we will win because God is a mighty God and he's got a whole bunch of angels. Now, having said that, having reviewed the fact with you that we're going to win, I need to tell you something. You will begin to sense the victory that is yours in Jesus Christ as you become involved in praying singularly as a believer, as you join with other believers in praying, and as you do that, you will see a much more realistic view of what is going on. And, you know, we have a women's prayer meeting, we have a men's prayer meeting, we have informal prayer meetings where people get together and pray. I'll tell you, I rarely, if ever, miss a men's prayer meeting because I recognize that's one of the most important things in our church. We bring before the Lord the things that are going on in our church. And in bringing those things before the Lord, there's a sense, you know, of God's working. God's working. And we're going to overcome, you know. And it's a wonderful feeling. You know, you get up at the men's prayer meeting is at 7 o'clock in the morning and on a Saturday morning. And you get there and a little bit groggy. But I'll tell you, as we begin to pray, and you know, sometimes there's a lot of prayer. Sometimes we're just there seeking the Lord. But you leave that prayer meeting and you have this sense that God's in control. And he is in control. And he wants you to know that. But the way you know that is by seeking his face and praying. And that's really what's going on here. Daniel, he's praying his heart out. And he's praying about bad things that are going on. And suddenly the Lord shows up. And Daniel is just kind of given a little vent, a little glimpse of what's going on in the unseen realm. And of course, this is just a prelude to this incredible vision that God is going to give Daniel in chapter 11. But, you know, I want you to understand how important it is that you pray and that you seek the Lord. And I can't give you that understanding. The only way that you'll gain the understanding of how important it is to pray is if you pray. And as you discipline yourself to pray, each day, you get up 5 minutes early, and I guarantee that as you grow, you're going to want to get up a little bit early and a little bit earlier. But you seek the Lord, and God will begin to show you things that you're only going to really see and you're only going to really understand as you seek him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight. Lord, would you empower us as we pray that, Lord, your Spirit would be working in the lives of this body. Lord, I know that in many people you are working. In many people, they are praying. But, Lord, I pray that you would add to the people that are already praying that, Lord, we would become a church that first and foremost spends time with you. And Lord, I know that as we spend time with you, a lot of good things are going to happen. We're going to see our understanding of the Word of God begin to increase. We'll walk out of a study and say, wow, the Lord really showed me things. We're going to see answers to prayer. Lord, as we seek your face and as we discover the things that you would have us to pray for, and then as we pray, Lord, you're going to answer. I know you are. I've seen you do it. And so, Lord, I thank you that as we become more and more a people of prayer, that, Lord, you're going to multiply this church. And I just want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to spend a little time in prayer. And I want to encourage all of you to, you know, people will come up here. And Dan and James and Jerry are going to be up here. And as they pray, I want you to pray. I want everybody here to be praying. And we're not going to pray for a long period of time, but I want you to just shut everything out. They're gonna be singing, but we're going to be singing quietly. And I want you to seek the Lord and just see what the Lord would show you. You know, if you have something that you'd like to bring before the Lord and you'd like somebody to agree with you, come on up. We want you to come up. But at the same time, I want to see everybody praying. And as you pray, the Lord's going to meet us. He will. I promise you. Thank you, Lord.
lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing Alleluia. Waiting here for you with thy hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing waiting here for you with thy hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing for you with thy hand singing.
We're going to pray for about 3 or 4 minutes, and if you have something that you need for the Lord to touch in your life, come on up. We've got guys up here that would love to pray with you, so come on up.
lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore. Lifted high in praise.
And Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you that although there is a spiritual battle raging, that Lord, you're in control. And I thank you for the people that are here tonight, that Lord, they're going through difficult situations. And part of that difficulty is that you're training them up to be a strong soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, there are others that, Lord, they hardly know you. And I pray that, Lord, you would work in their hearts, that even as they head for home tonight, that there would be a longing to know you better. And that they would follow up on that, Lord. Just tell you those very words, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to grow in you. I want to be the person you've called me to be. So, Lord, we thank you what you're doing. Help us, Lord, to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Well, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord continue to remind you that there is a spiritual battle that's going on all around us. We can either opt out or we can tell the Lord, Lord, I'm here. I want to be used by you. If you tell the Lord that, he'll use you. He will. So, God bless you.